total bust. That's what former President Trump is calling what was likely the final investigative hearing of the Special Congressional Committee investigating his role in the January 6th riot. The committee voted unanimously yesterday to subpoena Trump after presenting evidence that Trump planned in advance to declare victory on Election Day. He knew he lost, knew his supporters were armed on January 6th, and wanted to join the mob on Capitol Hill in trying to disrupt the certification of the election results.
So there's all that. And by the way, we're just about 3 weeks now from the midterm elections. Let's bring in our Friday Politics Roundtable. Patrick Marley covers voting issues for The Washington Post. He's based in Madison, Wisconsin. Patrick, welcome.
Thanks for having me on.
Sure thing. And Maya King, politics reporter for The New York Times, on her way to Savannah, Georgia, for the big Senate debate in Georgia today. She's based in Atlanta. Maya, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So the committee yesterday played a never-before-seen video of Republican and Democratic leaders in Congress in a secure location during the riot on January 6th as they tried to get back to the work of certifying the election. Here's House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
The overriding wish is to do it at the Capitol. What we are being told very directly is it's going to take days for the Capitol to be okay again.
So there was that. And then, of course, there was the Trump subpoena in the closing minutes of the hearing. Maya, start with you. What was the key moment yesterday in your mind?
Well, you know, I couldn't identify a real moment that we can point to. Maybe Speaker Pelosi's comments and her saying that she would want to punch the president, the former president. That was certainly a moment. But overall, I think the question here is, just, you know, if the committee accomplished what they wanted. And I think they did at least accomplish the first half of that, which is laying out in the clearest evidence possible with the most video footage and access to every single angle that they could, just how much went into former President Trump's attempts to overthrow the election, the role that he and his supporters and many very close to him at the White House played in that effort.
Patrick, I'm curious, your vantage point there in Wisconsin, you know, this could be the last investigative hearing of the committee. How does it go over in places that aren't Washington, D.C.?
Well, I think it goes over in places like Wisconsin, much like it goes over in the rest of the country. I do think views on this are pretty baked in. When I talk to Democrats, they're outraged, and things like the hearing yesterday are a reminder of that. When I talk to Republicans, you know, they don't like what happened on January 6th, but they feel like there's too much of a focus on it or that it's been overblown. but, you know, they have strong views on it. It does not seem to be a top-of-mind issue as they head into the midterms. People are talking more about inflation and abortion and crime, things like that, rather than January 6th. Usually when I talk to them, I have to prompt them to get them to start talking about that issue.
And we are going to come back to exactly what was said in the Wisconsin debate in just a moment. But I just wanted to ask a question about former Vice President Mike Pence, who I have to say, prior to these videos that were played yesterday by the committee, it just felt like he was kind of being shuttled around on that day, January 6th, to hide, but not really much else. But in these videos, we hear him not only talking with top congressional leaders throughout the ordeal, but he gives the final word to them from police about when they'll be able to perform the key duty of that day, meeting to certify the election result. Let's take a listen.
Their best information is that they believe that the House and the Senate will be able to reconvene in roughly an hour.
Good news.
Does Pence come through in a different light here, Maya?
Well, we've known. I think what we know about the vice president after January 6th, as someone who was very committed to upholding democratic ideals here in terms of preservation of democracy, this moment should not come as that much of a surprise. We know that on January 6th, Vice President Pence was indeed very, very committed to trying to maintain the transfer of power, the peaceful transfer of power and the certification of the election. And that's what you hear him doing in that footage that you have.
Patrick, January 6th, barely mentioned in the debate last night between one of the most embattled Republican senators, Ron Johnson, and his Democratic opponent, Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. The two candidates clashed over defunding the police. Here's Johnson and then Barnes.
The problem with the whole defund movement, which he has been a big supporter of, it dispirits law enforcement. They're having a hard time recruiting members, and we aren't going to have the law enforcement officers we're going to need to reduce crime.
No police officers in this country were more dispirited than the ones who were present at the United States Capitol on January 6th.
Okay, so tell us what you think about this. A few months ago, Johnson was scrambling to explain January 6th texts that showed that he tried to help advance a slate of fake electors from Wisconsin to declare Trump the winner, but now it looks like he's actually doing pretty well in the polls. Give us a sense of how this race is going.
Yeah, he's doing quite well in the polls, actually. It was it had been a tight race. Wisconsin always has very close elections, but there's a Marquette School poll this week that had him, I think, 6 points up over Mandela Barnes. Since the primary, Mandela Barnes won his primary in August, and it was kind of a fait accompli by the end because all of the other major candidates had dropped out by the date of the election. But since then, Ron Johnson and his supporters have just bombarded the airwaves with ads about his record, about his stance on policing issues, a big focus on crime, and portraying him as an extremist and too liberal for the state. That seems to have worked for Johnson because he is notching this lead in this race.
Were there any moments last night that might have changed voters' minds in this pivotal race in the Senate?
I don't think so. I mean, it was a very feisty debate. Both were on the attack from the word go. But they both performed well. They both did what they needed to do. Nobody made a major error. I mean, there were small gaffes here and there. Barnes missed a chance to respond as he wanted on an abortion question where Johnson is portraying him as an extremist and supporting abortion up to the moment of birth. And Barnes was sort of slow to get around to his answer, calling that position ridiculous or that claim ridiculous. He sort of got that in as he was being cut off. Mm. And, Johnson at one point referred to Barnes, who's the lieutenant governor, as Senator Barnes. That was a mistake. But really nothing game-changing in these debates.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I'm wondering if some of those issues that came up in Wisconsin will come up tonight in the debate in Georgia. Maya, you're headed down there right now. That's between Senate Democrat Raphael Warnock and the Republican Herschel Walker, who's been all in the news. They're squaring off tonight. It's their first debate. What are you going to be watching for, Maya?
Well, I think a couple of things. After what has been just an absolutely tumultuous few weeks of coverage and reports around Herschel Walker's personal and professional life, there will undoubtedly be some questions that he's going to have to answer about that. This is a moment for him to speak directly to the voters who might be conservatives and want to see Republican control of the United States Senate, but really have serious misgivings about who Herschel Walker is in terms of his character and his ability to really show up and if he is indeed elected to the United States Senate. For Senator Warnock, I think the bar is also quite high for him because people are expecting this man who is known for being such a skilled orator, who has this position as the senior pastor of Martin Luther King Jr.'s Ebenezer Baptist Church, to not only bring that same kind of, star power to the stage in the way that he speaks, but also be able to make as crystal clear as possible the differences between him and Herschel Walker, not just on party ideology and even, who is more plagued by scandal, but also who, in Warnock's case, is supportive of Democratic policies and willing to stand up for those while also striking the balance between saying that, but still being able to craft a message that appeals to those same kind of conservative voters who have their misgivings about Walker. So saying all that to say that these two men have different things to prove, but the audiences that they're speaking to are pretty similar.
Yeah. And just briefly, Maya, this is a seat that Democrats very much need to want to hold in the U.S. Senate. What are the contours of this race with now just a few weeks to go until the midterms?
Well, it's going to come down to the wire. I mean, this is a race that's going to be won at the margins, but both parties and all of their political apparatuses, even many donors now, have really, really invested in either of their candidates' success, because they know that whoever wins the seat will likely be a harbinger of who, which party, I should say, will have control over the Senate next year.
We only have 10 seconds. I just love your feet. One of you, Maya, maybe. We're looking at three black men as candidates for, in both these Senate races. An overwhelmingly white body is the Senate. How significant is it that we may see one, if not two, new African-American men in the Senate come November?
Well, it certainly has broad implications for policymaking and who will really be able to stand up and advocate for policies that impact their communities. So I guess it remains to be seen.
Maya King is politics reporter for The New York Times, covering the South. Patrick Marley covers voting issues for The Washington Post. Thanks to you both.